Luke chapter 6, I'm going to look at one verse here, verse number 38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I want to talk on the subject of giving. Subject of giving. The Christian life is about giving. The Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ gave his life to us on the cross to provide us salvation. And so as Christians, we ought to be a giving people. When we read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, of course, that is the chapter on faith. And it talks about all the heroes of the faith, and many gave their lives as martyrs. And many, you saw the faith that they had to believe what God had told them. Amen? And they gave of their lives. And we look at the early church. I want you to look at Acts chapter 4. The early church here in Acts chapter number 4, they gave to enable others to have. Acts chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 32. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, was, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." So here, the church was taking care of its own, the early church. And the early church, if you'll notice, over and over, as we look in those first few chapters about the church, you'll see things like one heart, one soul. They were all together. We see the unity that the early church had and the power that the early church had. And here we see that they gave freely to take care of one another. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Start in verse number 6. Here he's speaking of giving. The first part of the chapter talks about giving that will provoke others. And here it's talking about our giving will bless us. Now notice what he says in verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Notice there, it says, as it, he purposed in his heart. We're to give what is in our heart to give. Amen? And notice he says, don't give it grudgingly. You know, when you see these people when the offering plate's passed and it just seems like it takes them, they don't want to let go. I could use this money. Yeah, but God can use it. God can bless you for giving. If you give cheerfully, not That's not cheerfully. Right? God loves a cheerful giver. Notice he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Notice, your giving will meet your needs. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Next, it will glorify God, your giving. Notice verse number 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Notice that, a liberal distribution. Now listen, normally when we see that word liberal, we don't think of a positive thing, do we? But when we give liberally, he's saying that's a good thing. And it brings honor and glory to our Lord. Amen? Your giving will unite God's people. Notice verse 14 and 15. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God loves a cheerful giver, and he is commanding us, give. Notice in the text that we're looking at here, it doesn't say, I would like for you to give. It's a command, give. Give. Amen? He commands us to give. Giving is not an option of choosing whether or not you're going to give. We're to give our tithes. We're to bring them in the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. Amen? It's not some guy on TV that you see that says, if you send me money, you will be blessed. God will bless you for sending your so-called seed money into me. Can I tell you this? When you're in the hospital sick, I doubt very seriously he'll be coming to visit you. All right? And so, be careful, but we're to give to the local church. Amen? Now, God may direct you to give to certain ministries. There's no problem in that. But first and foremost, you must tithe at your church. Amen? When we give, we're obeying God because God is telling us to give. When we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. Proverbs 19:17 says this, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. In other words, it's saying the Lord will recompense a lender for his kindness to the poor. When you give to the poor, he's going to take care of you. He's going to pay you back. Proverbs 19:17. And when we give, we follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He who was rich, the Bible says, became poor. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He owned everything. And he came to this earth to become a man so he could die for our sins. He had everything, and then the next thing you know, he's being born in a lowly manger. He said the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So here he's talking about he didn't have wealth and fame and fortune in that sense. Of course, he all of a sudden, everybody, anytime Jesus was around, they were around to see him. But when he started out, it wasn't that way. Amen? But he was never one that had lived in a palace while he was on this earth. And so he became poor for our sakes that we might be rich. He shed his blood so that we might have salvation. Our salvation should remind us to give. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. When we think of what he gave, we should have no problem in giving. When we see a need and God nudges our heart to give, we need to give. Amen? Listen, gifts to missions are a blessing. The Lord loves that. Amen? And he'll take care of those people that give. And when you're mission-minded, it seems like the church seems to prosper. The more you get in, the more missionaries you're taking on and taking care of, it just seems like the churches grow. When you start going back on that, it seems like things just kind of don't go as smoothly as before. A giving church becomes a growing church. When you find these churches that just give and give and give, you'll see that they're growing. Amen? And so we as God's people need to be giving. The Lord made a promise here in this text that we looked at to givers. Give, and it shall be given unto you. I've given you examples before where God spoke to my heart to give to people, and I'm arguing with them. God, this is all I got. If I give them this, I don't have any money till payday. And then finally I'd say, you know what? Well, if you want me to give it, I'll give it. I gave, and the Lord gave back before I left the church. Now, that happened twice. One time I got back what I gave. The second time I did it, I got back double what I gave. I gave $20, that's all I had, and before I left, someone had given me $40. What's that? That's God. You say, well, they gave it to you. No, God nudged their heart to give it to me. Amen? But I doubt very seriously he'd have nudged their heart if I'd have been disobedient and not given. And so when the Lord speaks to your heart to give, give. Make sure it's the Lord. Sometimes people give to be seen. You know what I mean? They want people to, hey, notice what I'm doing. You know, a giving person that's like this is not going to want to make a scene or that. He'll shake their hand, maybe have the money in it, just shake their hand, tell them, you know, I love you and appreciate you. I've been praying for you. They're not going to make a big scene to let everybody know what they're giving, because they're giving from the heart. Amen? Give, and it shall be given unto you. I want you to notice Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. Sometimes your mind goes blank. You won't find Ecclesiastes in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Amen. Ecclesiastes 11. Verse 1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, or thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Listen, we hear in there and also in Galatians about sowing and reaping. If we don't do much sowing, you're not going to reap much. Amen? And if you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. And so when it comes to giving, when we give a lot, the Lord will give a lot. And so we need to be careful and realize, listen, giving is an investment for the future. Let's look at Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to notice this. Matthew chapter 7, in verse number 19. That is not where I'm supposed to be. All right. Maybe it's 17. We'll try there. 17. I don't know what I was writing down. Amen. Try 6:19. Maybe that's it. There you go. Brother Gale got it. 6:19. Sal's wanting to make sure he's on his toes. All right, 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And notice this verse here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A lot of times people, I've noticed in church, I've been in church long enough to see it, people give tithes when they're doing good. When things are going good, they tithe, but all of a sudden when things get tight, they stop giving. That's the time you need to be giving. That's the time when it's really a faith that you're giving. God, I don't know how I'm going to make these bills, but I got to give to you first. You'll take care of it. I'm trusting you to do it. Listen, when you have all kinds of money, you're thinking, well, I can give that. That's no problem. But listen, a lot of times when we hold on to stuff because we want things, we want that new car, we want that new home, we want that new gadget, we want that new toy. Guess what? We might get it, but something might happen to it. Someone might steal it. It might break. Right? But anything we lay up there, he says no one can get to it. That new car, 10 years from now, is not going to look very new, is it? Rust, boy, down here, that's a big problem, isn't it? Rust. We were driving by, I can't remember what place it was, and they had all these white vans out there, and just about every one of them, you could see the roof, it had rust on it, kind of like ours. On that white van, the rust all the way up and down it. You know what? The rust gets a hold of that stuff. But you know what? Our treasure's in heaven. That won't happen. Amen? And so he's telling us, listen, give us an investment for the future. Listen, anything we give to the church for the glory of God, we're storing up treasures in heaven. Amen? When you give of your time, not just money, but when you give up your time. Listen, when you're giving up your time and you're knocking on doors and you maybe meet someone and plant that seed, listen, they might not get saved then, but if you had a part in their salvation, which may be that you planted a seed and someone else watered it, amen? The word come through and all of a sudden someone else come by and they were ready to be saved. You had a part in that. You'll get a reward for that. Or you may be fortunate to go to them, lead them to the Lord, and listen, you have a reward in that. And no one can take that reward from you. That's an investment we make. These missionaries that we take on for support, guess what? Any person that gets saved through their ministry, we have a part in. That's why I love the John and Romans ministry, because listen, a lot of times when you send out missionaries, they go to people, there's one person, but a lot of times you get them John and Romans or the printing ministry of those tracts. They may be given to somebody and they give them to someone else and they give them to someone else and they give them to someone else. No telling how many people will see that, how many people maybe get saved by that. It's important that we realize, listen, it's an investment. Sunday morning when you hear all the noise and commotion and they come running in here and they're, listen, that's an investment. Who knows, Brother Gale, there might be the next Spurgeon in that group. Now, we can't see it right now, Amen. It may be over here. It may be in the middle. We don't know. But we're making an investment. Every time we go out those doors and tell people about Jesus, we're making an investment. When those vans go out there and you say, you know what, it gas, boy, it's expensive, and boy, that those vans can run through that gas. But it's an investment that we're making for the future. It's an investment that God will reward us. God will honor us. When you do things right and you do things for the Lord, you give of your time, you give the money that you have, the resources you have, or maybe God, you use the talents God gives you. Use those talents to teach or to preach or whatever the Lord have you do, sing or whatever it may be. Listen, sometimes it may be someone up here singing that someone's going through a rough time and that song will speak to their heart and it'll help them. That's an investment. Listen, there might be a time where, someone's down and out and a Sunday school teacher is teaching a lesson and all of a sudden they hear something and they say, man, that's what I needed to hear. That's exactly what I needed to hear. I was wondering what to do and here he's telling me what to do. Sometimes when you're in the service and the preacher is preaching, all of a sudden something hits you and you're saying, that's what I needed. I remember when I first got saved and I'd be sitting over there and sometimes I thought someone's telling the preacher about me. Because it seemed every time I was needing something, if I strayed this way or I needed to be pushed this way, it just seemed like the right message come at the right time. I'd say, that was for me. And I'd go down to the altar and I'd look and I'd say, you know, am I the only one that needs help? Seemed like I kept going and going, and you know what? Then I realized some of these people, I started to worry about them, Brother Gale. In that church 15, 20 years, and the years that I saw them, not once did I ever see them come down the altar. That scares me. You're going to tell me God's Word being preached, the Holy Spirit taking that Word and speaking to my heart, speaking to your heart, and there's people that won't even come. I remember one man, he would just walk out. Invitation time come, he left. Search my heart, but not in the church. Well, just maybe every once in a while. Not all the time, Lord. No, we need it. We need to come prepared saying, Lord, search my heart. If I need to do something, you let me know. Lord, if you want me to stop doing something, let me know. Lord, if I'm causing a problem here, let me know. Lord, if I can help in any way, let me know. But can I tell you this? If you're not a giving person, you give of your talents, you give of your time, you give of your resources, you're going to have some problems if you don't give. Amen? We're to give. Giving is like sowing seed, as I said. Let's go there to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Verse number 7 says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. A lot of times we, as Christians, and I look at the psalmist a lot of times, he kind of questioned God as, why are these heathens, why are they benefiting? Why are they getting things? They just seem to get everything they want, and here I am having a hard time. Don't you worry about it. They'll get it. They'll get what's coming due to them. And here he's saying, listen, God's not mocked. Be not deceived. He's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, if you're going to live in your flesh, guess what? You're going to reap the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, you live a Spirit-filled life, you're going to reap the Spirit. Amen? You're going to have that life. Amen? And so he's saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. There are times where we feel like, Lord, I give and I give and I give and I give, and it just doesn't seem to matter. He's saying, don't be weary. Because notice what he says here. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Don't give up and say, that's it, I quit, I'm not going to serve God, it just doesn't seem to pay. Have you ever met people that act that way or even say it? It just doesn't pay to be a Christian. Well, you're looking at the wrong thing. Let's see. I trust Christ as my Savior, and I don't have to go to hell. I think it pays to be a Christian. Amen? No matter what I have here, I might have a car that, you know, has all kinds of problems. I may have a house that's falling apart. But I got everlasting life. I'm going to live forever with my Lord. What do you mean it doesn't pay to be a Christian? You know what the problem is? We're thinking fleshly. Well, I want this and this, and if I had this, I'd be happy, and if I had this, I'd be happy. Can I tell you this? You won't be happy. Without Jesus, you can't be happy. You think of some of the richest people that ever lived. Have you ever heard of Howard Hughes? That man, boy, he had some mental problems, didn't he? He had all the money in the world. Henry Ford, at the end of his life, was begging the nurses and doctors, if you can keep me living, I'll give you millions of dollars. What was the problem? What was the problem? Money can't buy life. God gives life. Amen? And you can't just all of a sudden, you know, buy more time. If it's your time to die, you're going to die. And you will face God one day, and it will be a payday. You're going to reap what you sow. If you never had time for God, you're going to die and split hell wide open. But if you trusted Christ as your Savior, guess what? It paid off. You're going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity with Him. Isn't that wonderful? I said, isn't that wonderful? This isn't Sunday morning. Wake up. Isn't it wonderful? We're going to heaven. It'll pay off. Amen? Giving pays off. We as God's people need to give. Notice this. I like this, the way he does this here, because you know what? It says, give and it shall be given unto you. A good measure. Now, when I was a kid, I kind of liked candy. Well, I still like candy. You ever ask someone, those are peanut M&Ms. Could I have some of those? And they take that bag and they dip one, and you're like, oh. But what about when they dip that bag and all of a sudden they all come pouring out? Hey, man, that's when jackpot. All right. Hey, man. That's a good measure. But the Lord says when you give, you don't just get a good measure. He said, a good measure pressed down. You ever try to get something in there and it's not going to fit? And you just press it more so you put more in there. He said, okay, you can have all these Snickers bars that you can fit in that canister. What are you going to do? If you like Snickers, you know what you're going to do? You're going to stuff them in there and stuff them in. That's not enough. I'll stuff them in there. Press down so you get more in there. Notice this. It says, a good measure, pressed down, not enough, and shaken together. You know, one of the things that just irritated me and still irritates me to this day. You go to the grocery store, you buy some potato chips, and you open that bag, and 3/4 of that bag's empty. And on there, some settling may occur. Yeah, you settled to decide that you weren't going to give me my chips. Why don't you just put them in a little bag? No, you're going to put them in a big one, make it look like it's a lot. You open it up, and there's hardly anything in there. You know why? Because it's been shaken. When you shake it, it settles down a little bit. So not only was it pressed down, the Lord says, then I shake it, and it'll settle even more so you can get more. That's the way God gives. You can't outgive God. God gives more than you can ever think of giving. Notice this. He says, given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's saying, even after that, I'm still putting enough and it's coming over. There was this song, this guy sang it. What was it? My cup is, what was it? Something like, my cup is running over, my saucer is overflowed or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But what he's saying is it just poured out onto there and it just keeps coming. That's the way it is. With God, when you give, you're giving of your heart. You're giving of your resources, your time, your talents. When you give with a good heart and just you're being a cheerful giver, God will just bountifully give to you back. You can't outgive Him. So I said that day I was sitting there, especially after the first time I did that. After the first time a missionary is sitting up there talking about where he's going, and the Lord burdened my heart and says, you give him money. And I open that wallet up and I look in there and there's one $20 bill and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've got to make this last till Friday, till payday. This is Wednesday. I've got mouths to feed, including mine. Especially, I got two boys. Now they're really big. Boy, it takes a lot to feed them. They'd still eat. And I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't know that I can give. I'd like to. But, you almost kind of like you're trying to blame God. If I had more money, He's saying give. Finally, I said, man, conviction was setting in, and I was just sitting there saying, man, I'm going to be miserable if I don't give them this $20. And I went over there, and I said, I appreciate you coming, and that was a blessing. And I shook his hand and gave him the $20. And then I come back around where I was sitting on this side, and one of the guys from the church comes over to me and says, you know what? The Lord told me to give you this. There's that $20. And I thought, man, isn't God good? Before I even got out of there, He took care of the problem. Then next time it happened, I'm sitting there. And here I experienced the one time that when I gave, He gave back. And the second time He dealt with me, I'm sitting there arguing again with Him. And I sit there and say, you know what? I got to give. I gave it to Him, and before I left, I had $40. And I'm sitting here thinking, God is amazing. But you know what I think of? I think of the fall of man. Think about this. Let's go to Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 3. Listen, Adam and Eve had everything. Everything. But there was one tree they were not to eat the fruit off of. Boy, Satan, boy, he's a good one, isn't he? He knows he's a trickster. He comes in here, and the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know what he's doing here? He's questioning God's word. Did he really say that? And notice, the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's not what he said. Now, I don't know, and you don't know, because it doesn't tell us if she added this in, or maybe Adam was thinking, you know what, I want to make sure she doesn't eat this. I'm going to tell her, don't even touch it. I don't know. But anyway, she added to God's word. You're not supposed to add to God's word, and you're not supposed to take away from God's word. When you start doing that, then you start questioning God's word. Because that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden she says, well, we can't do this or this. And then what did the serpent do? Ye shall not surely die. You're not going to die. In other words, God's lying. God's not. He's trying to hold back from you. If you eat of it, you'll be as gods, just like him. Question the word of God, and we know what happened. She took of the fruit. Adam took of the fruit. But I want you to notice, listen, they gave away everything there. But I want you to notice, immediately after this has happened, God comes to them. Notice what was said here. Verse number 9. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, can I tell you this? God knew where Adam was. He's wanting Adam to know where he was. He had fallen. Notice, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. In other words, Adam was playing the blame game. He wasn't blaming the woman. He was blaming God. The woman you gave me. And of course, it says there, what is this that thou hast done? He said to the woman. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Again, the blame game. Pointing at everybody else. Their problem. Who was the problem? Adam. Who was the problem? Eve. They were the problem. But they were pointing fingers at everybody else. But notice it said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon the belly shalt thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. After what man had done, and trying to blame God and everybody else, immediately God gives back. God gives the greatest gift. Here is what was going to happen. God tells of the Savior he's going to send to save mankind. Talk about a giving God, a gracious God. After man rebelled against God, God provided a way that we could have heaven. A giving God, a forgiving God, and a giving God. He gave us the promise of the Messiah right after man fell. Can I tell you this? We will never be able to outgive God. And the fact that he did what he did for us should make us giving people. Giving of our resources, giving of our time, and giving our talents, all for the glory of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be a giving people, because you gave your best when you gave us the Savior, and we should give our best because of what you've done for us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around as the pianist comes and plays. You just mind God. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I ask you to come to this altar. Raise your hand. We'll have someone take the Bible, show you how to be saved. Child of God, if you're here, I want to ask you this question. Are you a giving Christian? The Bible tells us in Malachi, he said that they robbed God. And he said, how did we rob you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. A tithe is what we're to give. An offering is above the tithe. That's God's money. You know what? Really, every bit of money that you have belongs to God. We're stewards of his money. But it's his money. Maybe if you think about that before we start spending on everything in the world to try to appease us and what our lusts are after. Remember, anything here, it's temporal. But everything, all those treasures up in heaven, they're forever. Maybe the Lord has spoke to you about tithing, offerings, missions, giving your time, giving your talents to be used of God for his glory. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, you come.